Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Player Development First podcast. This is episode 3. We've got Ivan Gonzalez with us today. Ivan is the Boys Academy Director at SG1 Soccer Club. I met Ivan in 2020 when we were on the US Soccer C license together. And I thought he was a top coach. I thought he spoke really well about the game, and he was really interesting when we were in paired in groups for the blended learning course. So I really wanted to get him on. He has been on multiple coaching courses with La Liga, Tovo. So really interesting to hear his insights on those and his club's methodology. So I think it's a good one today. Thanks very much for listening. Hey, Ivan, thanks very much for coming on today, man.
No, honestly, thank you for having me. It's wonderful seeing a friendly face, and not to mention somebody like you with a beautiful accent and all that good stuff.
Well, I'd like to take it back to the start, Ivan. When did you first get involved in soccer? Where did you grow up, actually?
For me, so I have been in a hodgepodge of different places. The experiences that I had within Chicago and, of course, within Houston. In regards to soccer, I mean, ever since I was a kid, street soccer with the local boys that were near my neighborhood, you would just pick up the ball and just start playing. Definitely a grassroots kid in the sense that, concrete jungle, open grass fields, doesn't matter. I've always loved the sport, and it's something to where I just naturally gravitated towards. I really started to get into it when I got into, club soccer in Houston. And then from there, I just expanded and continued going under the ventures of, club level soccer, going towards a higher precipice of just U.S. national team, even so with the Houston Dynamo Academy team and ODP and all that good stuff. Yeah. And one thing led to another, and, I just really had an appreciation for it. Mm-hmm. It was definitely magnetic. I love, in this case, the relationship building with just the players, the coaches, the environments that I was always in. Even like in the high school level, whenever you go play for your school, shout out to Springwoods High School, where we have the opportunities to go to state and be able to experience those things, within our own school setting. From there, there's always a point in time to where, right in the latter stages of high school, whether you want to continue under the road of being a player, or then there's the other aspect. For me, I chose wanted to go to college, wanted to get an education, yep. And as well as the experiences of just coaching in general. I started very young. At the age of about 16 was whenever I first started, and it was just like small stuff, like summer camps, doing little small things for my club back within Albion Hurricanes. And then from there, one thing led to another, and I just had opportunities left and right. It's kind of interesting because it's like, as a player, you love the experiences of just being with your groups. You love, in this case, the crowd, the effects of just the intensity of the competition, and of course the dedication that you have to put into it. But coaching has always been something that just was different for me. And then from there, it just grasped me in a very different way. I love creating relationships with the parents, and not to mention with also the players, and seeing them progress from, from little boys all the way up into, high school stages. And then, of course, progressing some of the kids that go into the Houston Dynamo Academy as well. Thankfully, I was blessed with a lot of wonderful opportunities. I mean, from there, I could just name a whole plethora of just different experiences. But what really grasped me the most was the teaching aspect. I love teaching. And, it's always been a passion of mine. From there, that's where I really started to get into, what else can I do, not just with coaching aspects, but creating a foundation for my community around me.
Yep.
You kind of, or at least like for me, I went more towards the humanitarian route. I love being a part of like volunteer aspects, community-based outreach, being a part of the school in the sense of having the boys going into college, showcases and creating those connections with them. And just seeing it from the development of the individual and seeing what they want to do with their hopes and dreams, improving my community, all that good stuff. Yeah. I landed the role of Boys Academy Director currently with the club that I currently work for, Sports Group One.
Sure. Sorry, that's what I was about to ask you. So that's your current role. You're in Katy, Texas, just outside of Houston, right?
Correct.
And so your current role is you're the boys director of coaching. Is that correct?
Boys Academy director. Yes. So I manage about close to 300 boys, like from the ages of 12, 2016 all the way to 2012. And let me tell you, it's work, but in all honesty, it's like from where it first started to where it is now, you know, I could say a lot of great improvement. We created levels within the game where we have a recreational platform. And then from there, growing them in-house and working our way towards more competitive levels. From where we first started to where we are now in the span of about 2 years, ever since the cutoff of COVID, we've definitely experienced growth, and we're expecting to have about 450 kids by the time we're done with tryouts. And so it's a whole different beast, and it's a whole different
experience. A lot of teams, a lot of players, yeah. Yes. So what does your role entail on a weekly basis? What do you do, you know, within your role to get those plans in place? Are you putting curriculums in place? Is it certain sessions? Is it having conversations with parents? What are you doing on a weekly basis within that role?
On a weekly basis, a little bit of everything. So for me, the main aspect to which I wanted to create was, in this case, a platform for the boys to be able to progress from the lowest tier, working their way up to what we call academy. So we have Rising Stars, which is our recreational youngest age groups, like 2017, 2016, 2015. And we're teaching them, in this case, our curriculum, which is very Dutch orientated. It's a TOVO based system where we do a lot of core verb based skill settings, and of course teaching them positional play, teaching them possession. At a very young age, we want to build them and have a foundation for whenever we get to the higher stages of team building.
That's awesome. That I was actually just going to say that, because I've actually I was talking to one of your colleagues, Michael Carroll, and you know, I see some of the stuff that he does on Twitter. It looks awesome. Are you guys work? So obviously, you know, the cover aspect that, you know, with at the, you know, it's great at the younger ages and all ages, obviously, but you know, you're talking the 2017, 2016 age groups. How do you guys go about putting like positional play into that sort of an age group? You know, I can imagine it being difficult. Do you guys do such like small sided rondos, like 5v1 rondos or that sort of activities?
Like it's definitely going to be a journey, especially with the youngest kids, but you want to keep it to the point where it's not too complex and it's something to where their attention spans don't, you know, mesh in different directions. The main thing is grasping the child at a very young age, engaging them and making sure that they don't feel like, in this case, bored or anything that setting. Because after a while, doing the same thing, in this case, just, you know, rondos on a daily basis for a whole hour, 30 minutes, you're going to lose them at some point in time. All of a sudden, butterfly flies, there you go.
Yeah,
but thankfully, we do have a lot of wonderful coaches that are very dedicated to not just the development of the kids, but they just have a way with kids. They're very nurturing. They're very, you know, they bring out the competitiveness and the focus within the boys. And so, you know, in this case, whenever we signed on a guy like Michael Carroll, in this case, he has a great understanding of what I wanted to do, not to mention what the club wanted to progress towards. In this case, you know, he's been a wonderful help, especially with the youngest age groups. Like, that's just his niche. He just has a way with kids. He's like the Pied Piper of, like, all these little groups of kids, and they all just follow, you know, a single file line doing positional play. But the way how we develop the kids at a very young age, it's like you have to engage them first within the mind, but as well as progress it. They're actually smarter than people can think. Like, they can do, in this case, a 3v3 plus 3. They can do, or a 2v2 plus 2. They can do a lot of different things. The only thing is introducing it. That's the hardest part. For the first couple of weeks, it's going to be like pulling out teeth. It's not going to be pretty. But over the course of time, the moment that they start to understand and they grasp it, they're like sponges. And next thing you know, you know, we have like currently our 2015 group. We were able to have two different groups, an A team and a B team. But in this case, they play very similarly. I mean, right now they're in the SSDL league playing against, you know, very big name groups within Houston. Like, in this case, Albion Hurricanes. And there are many treasure troves of kids. And they're playing the year up. And currently they're in first place. They're going into their final. I mean, we've been doing a good job in the sense of the youngest age groups and working their way up. But yeah, when it comes to positional play, if you don't have the personality for certain kids, you're going to lose them. And the moment you lose them, they're not going to enjoy it, so on and so forth. So it's definitely, you have to find the right types of personalities. And also shout out to Diana, Stephen, Mick, because they've been doing a very great job as well. But then just creating those connections with the players. Oh, and Kaylee.
I have to say that too. Yeah, I wanted to, you know, whilst we're on SG1, you know, I think I've only ever played you guys the once. But you know, you can tell that there's definitely a possession based ethos within your curriculum, your coaching, obviously a developmental approach. Do you guys at that your younger ages, just whilst we're on it, do you guys encourage a lot of 1v1 mastery and dribbling as well, or is it more possessional sort of activities that you do on a weekly basis? Or do you guys just a hybrid?
For us, okay, so we are very positional based. We want to create this aspect that the way how we keep the ball essentially is the best defense, it's the best offense. It's something to where the more you keep the ball, the more you're in control that you have with the game. Starting it off at a very young age, technique is everything. Like, you need to build that foundation. If you can't receive the ball, if you can't even pass the ball or things of that setting, or even dribble with it, you're going to create a lot of trouble within as their development continues. You have to build that foundation. And I like to take this quote, this gets from Mike. It's like, if you can't even do algebra, why would you be calculus? It's like, you know, it sounds simple, right? It sounds like something to where, you know, it's common sense, but you'll be surprised. There's a lot of parents that may not see the same aspects towards it. But for me, you need to build that foundation. You have to have these little kids proficient enough to be able to grasp not just the technical basis of things, and then from there progress it towards possession. Now, we're also not a group that's like possession without a purpose, where we just pass the ball back left and right, left and right, so on and so forth. For us, the moment you have a foundation of just technical ability, and then you progress it towards, okay, here's how we keep the ball, the next phase is, okay, how can we break the team? How can we drive through lines? How can we, in this case, force the other team to start opening themselves up, and then from there find little pockets of space to play through them. And that's where we get the competitive aspects. At a very young age, we're very like, oh, you know, the results don't matter, so on and so forth. They have fun, kids. And then we get to the stage where after Rising Stars, we get to pre-academy, which is the, you know, still young groups, but now it's like
nine groups, the U10 groups.
So like U9, U10. U8, U9, U7, but you now have two sessions, and now we're really driving this essence into you. And so for us, you have to create the competitive platform for them, because then after the next stage, it's going to be academy. And that's where we have, you know, the more proficiency, where we start to travel different places and the expectation is higher. My goal essentially, by the time they leave academy, is that they're ready for competitive, which is U11 and up. Yep. And so if we don't prepare them ahead of time, if we don't, in this case, you know, build the player, build the team, and start to create the community basis of the parents, letting them know this is how we're going to progress your kid, this is the direction we're going with, at a very, you know, creating that culture. By the time it gets competitive, it's more free-flowing. They understand what to expect. And even so, when they get to the latter stages of just academy, before they reach that competitive stage, I mean, we really start to drive not just competitiveness, like in a positive way, obviously. Like, we're not going to be, you know, sweep the leg, you know, things of that nature. But for us, we want to be the best that we can. And from there, we want to drive that mentality that you always want to improve. You always want to be hungry for the next successful thing, or for the next competition, for the next whatever it may be. And then from there, we start to drive it towards whenever they get to competitive stages, they're ready for those competitive coaches. And so my goal essentially within the directory of that club is just the maintenance of not just the facility in itself. Like, I do field maintenance. I do, in this case,
you wear a lot of hats, do you?
oh, I mean, you have to. And yes.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's, you know, I'm very hands up. Like, I'm the type of personality where it's, I'm either everything or nothing. And so being involved within the facility, but as well as the parents, the coaches, the progression of what leagues we're going to be on, what's the best competitive platform for, you know, so on and so forth. Now, I can't do this alone as well. As much as I want to be the micromanager that controls everything, I need to have a proficient staff around me as well. And I have to let them do what they do best. I'm bringing in individuals like Mike, like Bruce, like Mick, all these different coaches, Diana, Steve, and Valerie. And even so, within our own system, we actually have like players that we are starting to filter into like almost an internship program.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
And so
that'd be like your like high school kids. Would they come in and do a little bit of like grassroots coaching at the like the Rising Stars, like you said?
Yes, correct.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
So like individuals like Valerie, Rachel, those are types of people in which we saw something within them as they got into, you know, their seniors in high school. I mean, they've been doing pretty well. I believe they're able to get to state finals. And from there, their next pathway is college. Well, we wanted to get them ahead of time to where they just have this knack of responsibility, but as well as a passion for coaching. And so, yeah, it just worked in our favor. They wanted the opportunity. We created the internship program. And then from there, they filtered up into the Rising Stars. The kids also get to see what the example is as they start to progress within our club. And so, yeah.
That's great. At SG1, do you guys have a set sort of curriculum, or is it more coach freedom, the plan sessions, obviously within, you know, your game model or your club philosophy? Do you guys have a set like curriculum of sessions that you guys do, or do you guys like submit your sessions, or what does that look like on a weekly basis for coaches and their coaching schedule?
Okay. On a weekly basis, where we have a set curriculum. And so, or especially for the academy stages, okay. When you get to competitive, you still have the same essence of what we've done within the past, within, you know, what we do with the boys academy or the girls academy. But now it's progressed more towards the 11v11 platform, the 9v9 platform. So you have to add a couple things into it. We have a set curriculum. However, we do provide the coaches to have the freedom to choose how can we best retrofit this team in this situation. So therefore, we create a session of our own. Sometimes you have to have that freedom to be able to build the team in that direction in case they need to, how I say it, like in case they need to understand what is it that they're struggling with and how can we improve that one specific thing. You know, sometimes, you know, not every team is going to be very similar towards each other. And so depending on what is needed, the coach has to adapt. That's where the proficiency of the coach comes in. They need to have the freedom to decide, you know what, I need to focus more on this. We still do, you know, the core essence of our positional-based activities, as well as our positional-based, you know, core curriculum. But towards the end, you know, we have an hour and 30 minutes. Typically, as they get older, technique is lowered only because we give the responsibility to them. Henceforth, this is where the connection between parent and coach is very important. We're very big on, you know, soccer starts at home. Whenever they're young, you know, we showcase to them, here's how we want to build you as a player with a sense of the technical aspects. But we only see you once or twice a week. What you do after, you know, that's up to you. And so we want to create that role of responsibility where they have to continuously build themselves. And, you know, we even make competitions where they send us the videos of like them doing, you know, the specific homework of that week. And then from there, we build the point system and whoever's at the top gets like a prize, and that's under the coach's discretion and so on and so forth. But it's like, you know, the best analogy that we have for the boys, it's like you want to build your weapons. And so they're like, oh, yeah, weapons. Yeah, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. They have the mentality where they're naturally competitive. And so they want to be better than the person next, but they want to do so in a very, you know, unified way. And so they start to drive and push each other to want to be better. But as they get older, you know, instead of having 30 minutes of technical, you know, just technical activity, you start to lower and dial down, because now as they get older, tactical aspects are more important. And so at a certain stage, they need to take responsibility for themselves. And this is also where we created a separate platform called Extra Time, where it's almost like a gym membership. We literally devote it just for kids that want to do something extra, like technical skills, you know, in the confines of our own facility, just building into where you can come Monday through Friday. And so.
So that's just an additional session that's open to all players, you know, at the yes. club. And they could do with, what would that session look like? Would that be more like a covert based session?
Yes, but you know, it also depends on the age groups. As they get older, you can get more complex, but it's covert based. We, you know, you want to build the environment where, you know, it's competitive, it's fun, but as well as you're here to work, you're here to put yourself in a situation to improve yourself. And as they get older, then we start to separate them based upon age, which is where we have like Extra Time Elite, where, you know, the sessions are going to be built around the players that come in. And we want to keep the group sizes as small as possible. Like, we don't want to have 20 to 30 kids in one session, because at that point you're not as effective. And so keeping it, you know, 10, 12, that's the magic number, essentially. Yeah,
awesome, man. That's great. And obviously, we met ourselves on the U.S. soccer the C license. I thought it was a good course. I really enjoyed the video aspect of it, and the roadmaps really, you know, they give me a good framework just to, you know, be building through the units and you know, just do some of the terminology. It's funny. I was talking to someone the other week, and I could obviously tell it I was coaching against them. I could tell that they'd been on the C license, because they were literally just sparring the you know, the roadmaps, you know, right off, you know. What was your opinion of the course? What did you think of it?
The C license course. So this was a course to where, well, number one, I personally enjoyed it. I'm very big when it comes to connecting with coaches, you know, relationship building, just having fun. I'm all for it. I'm all for the camaraderie. I'm all for the WhatsApp chat groups and then just the banter that goes in between. When it comes to what they taught us in the curriculum of what to expect and how we built in the roadmaps and how we start to analyze games, in all honesty, I enjoyed every aspect of it. Like, to the point where I even use it within my sessions for the older groups. For the younger ones, a little bit different. We're gonna approach it based upon the curriculum that we already have set. But as they get older and they reach the competitive stages, we start to incorporate game activities based upon what needs to be done, whether the focus group is the defensive aspects of the team or the offensive ones. Are you going to focus more on the number 9? Are you going to focus more on the 6? You know, so on and so forth. And I like in the sense of having the organization of, you're going to, you know, build up the play from the defensive third, building from the midfield third, building from, let's say, the attacking third, or how are we going to defend in the attacking third, and having, you know, a session built upon those different stages of criterias. But the one thing to which I really enjoyed and what really shaped me was analyzing the games, like whenever you see the videos. So that's something to where I brought back with me to the club, where we really need to start focusing on, you know, videotaping all our groups and seeing how can we get classroom sessions in, because thankfully we're located right behind Westland Baptist Church, and there's a little office that we have inside the facility, and so we utilize it to have a team come in and just to analyze, you know what, this was our game on 2 weeks ago, and here's what we've been progressing in, and here's what we need to improve. And so within that sort of setting, you know, it's fun seeing the kids more engaged and start to recognize, oh man, we're not doing too well in, you know, keeping possession of the ball. We're not doing too well in building the play from our defensive third, or, you know, we need to take more shots on goal, or we can't cross to save our lives. You know, it's funny how the kids interact,
yeah.
But it's the video sessions. It's analyzing our games. It's of having the kids be more aware, especially in like now that we do Zoom sessions as well. So then from there, we get to analyze the games step by step.
So you guys have a video at the club?
Yes, we have one at the moment, going on two, and then hopefully three. But you know,
I just got one for PD1. I can't wait till it gets here. Yeah. One thing I really enjoyed about the C license, you know, just in terms of running a session is, and I don't know if you were the same, but you know, when I've done all my previous courses, it was always kind of, you had your topic of the session and you planned your topic around that session and you worked with the group on that. But for within the C license, you were expected to coach the opposition players and set the problem, which is something that I had never really done before. I was always just working with that. If we were working from building the ball into the attacking third, that's the group I was working with, you know, maybe the 6, the 8, the 7, the 11, maybe, but I wouldn't be working with the opposition, you know, 5, the 4. To be able to set the problem is something that I've taken into my coaching now. So I think that was a real good aspect of it. But I know in general, you're you're really big into your education. You've done your TOVO courses as well. How did you find those courses?
In all honesty, from when I'm the kid that typically tends to love and stick and stay in the classroom. I just love to learn. TOVO courses is something that just fell on my lap one day. As we started building the club towards a more organized way and, you know, acquiring the certain coaches that will help us within these aspects, the moment where we wanted to build the curriculum, that's where TOVO comes in. And then for me, you know, having a background of just, you know, already going towards that route, the TOVO courses for me just fell, you know, essentially out of the sky. Like it just happened. It wasn't something to where I was searching for it. I just happened to see it with it in front of me, and I just delved right into it. Already, I kind of had the perspective of going this route. I love the aspect of possessing the ball, but in a way to where it has natural progression, where you have a purpose behind it. TOVO, there's multiple different courses. The ones that I took were the ones you take online. Now, whenever you go, in this case, to Holland, that's a whole different aspect. That's a whole different beast. And that's where you go in with the other coaches and what to look for, what to expect. And that's where you really start to learn in a very collaborative way, but as well as a more intensified way. And of course, how we micromanage with the age groups. Now, obviously, I'm wearing this jersey at Ajax for a reason. In this case, the setup to where how they have and how they develop their kids at a very young age, and how they progress them and how they start to have, in this case, in their mind, what is an Ajax player and how can we put them into the first team and how can we progress and even into the latter stages of having a successful professional career. And so being able to experience that's where I started to have a whole different aspect of how I see the game. And, you know, I've done the coaching diploma licensing within West Ham Academy. You know, very blessed to have all these different opportunities to do La Liga courses. And the one that really stuck with me the most was TOVO. And just because that was just naturally my identity already. And then seeing all the different coaches, in this case, it's similar to teaching. It's like you learn from everybody. And, you know, just shout out to you, like seeing how you interact and how you organize yourself, especially within the sessions. Now, I'm a dinosaur. I am not very good at that. But seeing how you interacted and created your sessions and seeing, you know, the PowerPoints, everything in between, that really captivated me and wanting to be better, especially in how I produce that for, you know, the sessions that we have within the classroom for the players or the parents. And so, you know, just being essentially like as a coach, you need to be an individual that's constantly searching, how can I improve? And then the moment you stop, that's when, you know, you start to bring yourself down. I've always loved the classroom. I've always loved to learn. And I'll have always loved to be surrounded by people that are, you know, more passionate than I am, or even so that see it in a very different way, that are more proficient than I am, or whatever it may be. I don't really have an ego, that sort of aspect. But for me, yes, TOVO. TOVO was something that literally fell out of the sky. I got into it. I did the first course, and from there, just went over. And next thing you know, I'm doing, you know, the second course, the third course, going in this case. Yeah.
What's the obviously it's a very possession based course. What sort of is it all like? Is it the purpose behind it? Is the ethos of the course? Is that what the main content is? Or are they is there like activities that no one knows about that are great for possession? Like what is so good about the course? What's great about it?
Okay, like in this sort of case, well, for those who don't know, TOVO is an acronym for Total Voetbal, which is like the Dutch acronym for total football. Ultimately, it is a philosophy at the very beginning. You're going to introduce this Cruyffian type of ideology to where how are we going to build the player of a well-rounded aesthetic, but as well as for them to understand how can they purposely go into total football? Like how can we all attack as a group, we all defend as a group. We can interchange within different positions. We have a broad understanding that sort of direction. Now, after you pass the philosophy, which by the way, when you take the courses, it's like, it's big. It's like 50 to 60% Cruyffian or Dutch mentality. Like this is the philosophical way and so on and so forth. Now, when you get to the activities, now you're building the session. And then from there, it's all based around team building, but as well as you want the players to be as dynamic as possible. There aren't any lines. Like you're not putting in cones and creating lines of players and so on and so forth. Everybody is involved and incorporated in some way, shape, or form. Nobody is standing, essentially. Except for maybe, you know, during water breaks when they go to the side, but they come back and you're just focusing upon positional play or positional based activities, or in this case, game-like models. And so whenever you take the course, you get all these different retrospects of how we build the course based upon, like, let's say it's a 7v7. You play in a 2-3-1. When the boys come in, you have a group of about 10 or 11. 7 on the field, immediately get into the positions, and then you start positioning the ball in that sort of area. And then the other kids are trying to, in this case, get the ball. And it's a very, like, rondo-based method, but already in your positions. And so they start to move and start to circulate themselves within that sort of setting.
So is it like an end zone sort of activity where you're trying to play it from one player, you know, and the end goal is to get it to another player just for your, possession with direction type thing? Or is it just possess the ball for a certain amount of passes? What would it look like in that regard? I'm just trying to picture just for myself.
At that point,
maybe I'll do it myself. Yeah.
No, at that point, it's up to you. Like essentially, that's our work. Like you quickly go into your positions. You have two defenders, center mid, right mid, left mid, forward. And then from there, you just possess the ball, move around the criteria of the space within our own half. And then you're just possessing the ball from point A to point B. You know, the goalkeeper is already in line. Our goalkeepers, by the way, they're like the best way to describe them is they're a center back that can use their hands. They push very high. They are involved within the not only the defensive aspects, but as well as the attacking ones. And so we create overloads in our positional based, you know, activities. And so that's our warm, essentially. Quickly get into your groups. We start off with just basic rondos, 3 on the outside, 1 in the middle. And then once all our boys come in, we'll go straight into your positions and possess the ball. And it's just like a basic activity. Now you can start to create, in this case, you start off from the goalkeeper. And the end goal is how can we get to our forward? And so from there, it's just positional play going in from point A to point B, back and forth. And, you know, you rotate the players. You don't want them to essentially stick to just one position. You want them to have the understanding of here is our system of play. At some point, you're going to play as a left mid. At some point, you're going to play as a forward. At some point, you're going to play as a defender. They're at a stage where they're very young. And they need to learn all the different aspects because obviously, you know, I don't know about you, but for me, I had started off as a goalkeeper and worked my way as a forward, then became a center mid. And that's where I stuck with. And, you know, obviously, you know, at a young stage, you can be molded into any way, shape, or form. When you finally grow up and you get older, the kid that was the biggest on the field winds up being the smallest. The smallest kid on the field becomes the biggest. You know, you have different levels of stoutness. All of a sudden, some kids, start off very slow and then work their way. Next thing you know, they're the fastest kid on the field. And so you want to build a holistic player. Now, the progression from that, after our positional based thing, then we go straight into our positional play activities, 3v3 plus 3, or 2v2 plus 2, 3v3 plus 2, you know, different aspects like that. And that's where we start to incorporate our terminology. Like in this case, activate, open yourselves up. Close, create yourself nice and compact. Rotate the ball. In this case, you go from the right mid to the center mid to the left.
Switch
the ball. In this case, it's a direct switch. Like whenever we say rotate, you have to find somebody in the middle essentially to connect with to then.
Oh, so you separate the two of them. Yeah, okay.
And then switch the ball is a direct switch from one end to the next, one hit. But at a young age, it's very hard to do so. And so we typically kind of do that with the older years. Now, our terminology is also very embedded and based with our Houston Dynamo Academy teams. And so we want to build that aesthetic so that way whenever they get those opportunities, if they want to go and progress into the more professional outlet, they already know. They know the terminology that is used and the basis is already there. After positional play, they go straight into game-like activities where, you know, goal, and then from there, go into our basis of just, you know, 5 versus 5, 6 versus 6, 7 versus 7, or we have, in this case, 2 goals set up. Now, our main focus is how can we rotate the ball? How can we exploit the space? How can we find a way to create overloads? And then that's where the basis of the coach starts to come in. So, yeah. But from start to finish, that's how our sessions are pretty much based off.
Yeah. You mentioned you'd done a bit of the La Liga course as well. Is it similar? Is it very possession oriented as well? The Spanish methodology, or is it?
The Spanish methodology is very similar. It's okay. In essence, you know, there's an old saying where it's like a British team will out-muscle you. A German team will, you know, try to decipher and use the dynamism within their gang and pressing or whatever it may be. They'll outpress you. A Spanish team will outplay you. And in this case, their main aspects is tactical and building a criteria from the ground up in a very similar fashion where you have technical from their positional play basis. And then from there, we go into tactical. And so you just build from there. And it's very interesting. They have it to where they do microcycles, mesocycles, and they start to build from like from one session to the point where what you do for the whole year. And that's where I started to learn, okay, this is how you build, in this case, a curriculum. La Liga courses, in this case, in all honesty, we get the chance to take those as well. A lot of great individuals, a lot of great coaches, and essentially their aspect is you are a coach, you need to be the most hyper-dynamic person on the field. The aspect is you have to be in a very positive way. You want to create, in this case, a positive environment for the kid. And so in this case, whatever you say, it's not going to be a very negative detriment. It's always, you know, positivity. It's in essence, you want to build that progression of the player utilizing positive feedback. And of course, they're also very possession-based in a way, but for them, it's but more of a Spanish flavor, more of the tiki-taka essence, more of the Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico, even though they all play very differently, but the essence of a Spanish individual is still there. And that's what I enjoyed from there. I learned to build a curriculum from La Liga courses and like how we view the one session, how it progresses, and then how we view the week, how we view the month, how we view the next 3 months, how do we assess them? How do we go for the whole year? What is their physical outlets like? What are the testing? How are we going to test their, not just the physical aspects, but as well as the technical terminology? How do you build the player based upon your curriculum? And that's what really grasped me. Tovo was the bits and pieces of what I'm going to utilize within that session. And so within the curriculum. So it all intertwines. Henceforth, I always say, you know, build and learn as much as you can, especially as a coach. Like, there's more than one way to play, but obviously within your own identity, you want to find what works best for you and what you want to stick with. So, I mean, yeah,
sure.
It's very fun.
Yeah, I took one of the La Liga, I guess it was just a webinar series that we'd done. It was about creating a game model, but then, yeah, I thought it was awesome what they'd done. But the TOEFL courses are something I really want to, as soon as I get a bit of time, I want to definitely do at least one of the online courses this year, maybe both of them. Do you plan on going to Holland or Spain for one of the in-persons?
Yeah, actually, I already did number 3 and number 2. I just need level 1 for La Liga. But, you know, obviously with COVID, things tend to be like, I was almost at that stage. I just wanted to go forth and, you know, have a nice Spanish vacation and enjoy the, you know, the courses there. But unfortunately, things tend to be set back. And so I'm at a stage where I would like to go, but right now I don't have the time. Or if I do have the time, it's going to be, all right, last minute, let's go, book my ticket, go. So, yeah. So living life on the edge.
with SG1, man, I've seen, you know, well, just the last time me and yourself were chatting, it was at the Plano Labor Day tournament, where you'd brought up a few teams from SG1. You guys seem to come up quite a bit, the Dallas. You guys go to the many travel tournaments?
Yes. So for us, or at least within the Texas area, the tournaments that tend to be, how I say, the most competitive, but as well as the ones that are able to stick very well, are going to be, they're all going to be in Dallas. Plano Labor Day in Dallas, I mean, it's an experience. And obviously with kids, you know, their first time traveling is something that they won't forget. Like, it's, doesn't matter the results. For us, it's a matter of having the experience and looking to see what the level of play is like over there. Obviously, there is a big cutoff. Like, Dallas is at a different level compared to Houston. Houston is the sleeping giant that will eventually get to those stages. But right now, it's a lot of different ideas, a lot of different directions, and a lot of individual teams. It's just the culture within our setting. And of course, economics in some aspects. But I don't want to get too political and go into that aspect. Yeah. But for us, Dallas is the platform for us to go and experience, you know, the high level tournament. Or if you go to San Antonio or Austin, very similar fashion. But for us, Dallas typically in the early stages, like in August and September of the early fall season, we tend to go. And then within the closing stages of the spring season, same thing, like Next Generation Cup, the Texas Classic, or the Super Cup, whatever it may be.
So for yourself, obviously you said you're all or nothing, and it seems like you're very much embedded in SG1. Do you have is there anything, you know, do you have any specific future ambitions in coaching? You know, do you want to coach college or high school, or is there any rules within your organization, or is there anything you want to do within the organization? What's your ambitions in coaching?
For me, my ambitions essentially is to consistently coach in an environment with young kids, whether it be, you know, very, very young or high school stages. Right now, I'm actually taking on the job of rebuilding a program in high school in Morton Ranch. My main goals is consistently coach, but more in a professional setting, whether it be collegiate level, whether it be in, you know, high school, competing into the, you know, going into state. But the one thing to which I love and that I can't really escape from is the classroom. And of course, the ability to serve. I love to serve my community. I love to just to build it. And seeing a school like Morton Ranch, Hispanic dominated, you know, low income, it's right up my alley. So it's something to which I just love and enjoy. SG1 is something to where, you know, yeah, it's a great experience. I love the parents, I love the kids, I love the coaches, you know, can't really say anything bad or anything within the club to which I work for. But at a certain stage, there will be a time frame where, you know what, I need to go and venture off into the next thing. And so right now, it's building the platform or the foundation for the academy, which is, for me, it's exciting, it's fun. It's a lot of work, but it's exciting and fun. But at a certain stage, even I want to move on. And in this case, go into something more challenging. And right now, I'm putting my foot in the door, rebuilding, in this case, a high school program that has been neglected for some time. So yeah, so that for me is fun, but definitely staying in the classroom. I love teaching. I love teaching and coaching more than I do like playing. And don't get me wrong, I love to play as well, but it's not the same compared to like whenever you start to create those connections with other young individuals, seeing those captivating moments and experiences for the very first time, their first goal, or in this case, their first medal, and just having them all come into play and just watching them grow up. That's probably the main thing to which I enjoy the most. I mean, I've had kids whenever they were, you know, with their little, what's it called, the pacifier in their mouth, yeah, trying to keep the ball. And now they have a full beard, ready to go, you know, deeper voice, going into high school. It's a whole different setting. So it's
do you fun. Think you'll do the B license sometime soon?
Yes, actually, that's something to which I wanted to do this year. But right now, a lot of things going on. I might wait until next year. And so I want to get straight into it.
I think I'll do the same, yeah. Awesome. Well, Ivan, thanks very much for your time today, man. Really, really loved having you on. And maybe we could get you on again sometime to talk to another guest or something. But yeah, just really appreciate your time. Thanks very much.
Honestly, my pleasure. And I'm always down for anything.
Thanks, Ivan.
All right, will do.